This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you discussion on new criminal laws, transitioning legal framework of the country into new age. The participants are Professor S. Surya Prakash, Vice Chancellor of the National Law Institute University, and S. Rangabhashyam, Anchor.
Professor Surya Prakash, a warm welcome to the program. To talk about the three new criminal laws which would come into effect from the 1st of July this year, actually replacing the British era laws, basically the Indian Penal Code, the Criminal Procedure Code and the Indian Evidence Act. They are being replaced with the Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita, Bharatiya Nagarik Suraksha Sanhita and the Bharatiya Sakshi Adhiniyam. They will come into effect from the 1st of July. They are being hailed as the watershed moment for India. Tell us how big a paradigm shift these three new criminal laws would be.
See, if you look into the enactments, first we start with the Indian Penal Code. This Indian Penal Code was drafted by Lord Macaulay by the First Law Commission during the time of East India Company. 1834, when the First Law Commission was constituted by the East India Company, Governor General, etc., etc., and it completed its job, and the Indian Penal Code was prepared in 1860, and it came into existence from 1st January 1862 onwards. So, what were the socio-economic political conditions in 1862, and what are the social, political, and economic conditions, the state of society in 2024? And this was much delayed, better late than never. That's the principle. And after independence, we should have made these necessary changes immediately. But whatever may be the reasons, we didn't do that. At least now, made the requisite changes in the criminal laws particularly, which is the need of the hour. And we should remember that every law is the need of the time and every law is the product of the time. So when there are new offenses and when things are changing so rapidly, we cannot hang on the code which was drafted in 1840s and 50s. And already we suffered with this colonial laws for a long period, for 150 years. For an independent India, it is necessary, and I congratulate the government which took the step. And when you ask me for the paradigm shift, yes, it is a paradigm shift. Because earlier laws, they are criminal and accused-centric. What are the rights of the accused, and whether if he is put in the prison, whether he should be given wages or what is regressive? See, all these are colonial laws to control the Indian masses, to terrorize the Indian masses. The objective of criminal law of the British era, it was to terrorize the people, and they never treated. They are very unequal. And when given the discretion in the punishment, I didn't come across where a British was given the death penalty for killing a native man. So these are the discriminatory laws. Now the new laws focus is on victim-centric. How to protect the victim and what are the rights of the victim. And justice flows from protecting the victim and protecting the rights of the victim, not protecting the rights of the accused and the criminal. This is the paradigm shift in the new laws.
What are the actual provisions to deal with crimes of today's times? We are in the digital era and new crimes have come up, digital crimes, cyber crimes. So what are the provisions in the new criminal laws?
If we speak about the digital crime, they will come in some other form. And all these things have been covered under the Evidence Act, taking into the consideration the IT Act. And as far as taking the technology is concerned, suppose if there is a theft or a digital signature, the Evidence Act has modified with the Section 79 of the IT Act and the relevant facts and information that would be dealt by the this what you call Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita accordingly. As far as the digital offenses are concerned, and the digital offenses, they come under one or the other. All these, because there are specialized laws, various other laws also, which are covered. And the evidence was taken in consonance with the IT Act, and all those offenses are to be punished accordingly. As such, there is no special this thing, because the Act has envisaged CRPC, that is Bharatiya Nagarik Suraksha Samhita, has given lot of importance to the technology. We are very much accustomed to the technology. Thanks to COVID, most of the trials, court proceedings were conducted in online proceedings. And similarly, in this investigation process, search process, the Act put an emphasis on the presence of a forensic expert and a recording of the search operations, seizure operations, arrest and all these things. So, technology has taken a new step in these enactments.
Let's also talk about some of the other provisions which are there, that all criminal trials must be completed within 3 years and the judgments to be pronounced within 45 days of it being reserved. So all this, can we expect the new criminal laws to kind of expedite delivery of justice in the country?
Definitely, provided we need committed and dedicated judiciary, and also we have to look into what is the workload and how many courts are there in 1947 and what was the population, 33 crore population, and today 140 crore population, and how many courts are there, because merely we put it on paper that every criminal trial should be completed within 3 years, and once the arguments are over and judgment is reserved within 45 days, the judgment has to be delivered, it's okay. But simultaneously, we have to see the workload of the judges also. And undoubtedly, our judiciary, they have been working almost round the clock, in the sense that they will sit up to 5, 5.30 or 6 o'clock in the court, and then they go and take a lot of homework, and every day it will be midnight or next day morning they will go to bed. So it seems that in my humble opinion that there is a need to increase the number of courts also. As far as the provisions on paper is, they are very good.
Professor Suri Prakash, are the new criminal laws gender neutral and provisions which are different from what there was in IPC? Say, for example, outraging the modesty of a woman. Probably, you know, it couldn't be against a woman. It has to be, the perpetrator has to be a man. But now in the new provision, even another woman could be charged with outraging the modesty.
The gender neutrality is maintained. So that if we look at the four basic features of these new laws, focus on justice, addressing the contemporary issues, transformation in the criminal justice system, and gender neutrality and other reforms. So all these are offenses. And for example, 377, it was totally deleted. So now we have to wait and see when once, because laws are not, even though on paper we may draft a law, but how it operates, and with experience we can develop the law, and we can make necessary changes in future, if necessary. Okay, today we can't say that, we can't visualize what will be, what are the effects of this provision, whether a woman can violate the modesty of another woman.
Professor Suri Prakash, as you mentioned earlier, that the new provisions also include, you know, audiovisual recording of search and seizures, and also, you know, presence of forensic expert at the scene of crime. Tell us, what do you think, how feasible it would be to have forensic experts, as you would agree that, you know, a crime could happen anywhere, in any nook and corner of the country, in any village, any highway, anywhere. So how feasible that would it be, forensic expert to be present at the crime scene?
I would like to give a small illustration. If there is a fire accident may happen anywhere, maybe in a city, maybe in a town, or maybe in a village. The moment the information reaches, this fire control staff, they will reach there. Similarly, if the crime happens, the moment the police receive the information, the police will reach. When the fire personnel could reach where the fire accident occurs, and when police could reach, why not a forensic expert? The only thing is that we have to appoint requisite number of forensic experts, and we have to provide the requisite equipment, whatever the video cameras or whatever it is required for recording purposes, and then a technician to operate this camera and apparatus. So when all these things are available, it is 100% feasible. I consider that where there is a will, there is a way. Only thing required is making the rules and providing sufficient funds for this purpose.
Professor Suri Prakash, we have been, you know, talking about many issues in the past decades as far as criminal justice system of our country is concerned. And one of the main issues often highlighted is that thousands of under trials are there in jails who have been inside the jail, who have been, you know, undergoing jail term for periods longer than the punishments which is envisaged for their particular crimes. For example, for a certain crime, if the punishment, if the maximum punishment is 3 years, there is an under trial who has been there for 4 years, 5 years. So, do you think the new criminal laws also address this particular issue? that there should be no under trial in custody, for at least in those cases where the period of punishment is more than what he has already spent in jail.
So the new laws has prepared some provisions for under trials. My humble question is, why there should be under trials for more than a month or so? Because we do not have the sufficient number of criminal courts. We have sufficient number of advocates. If you make a comparative study of per million, how many courts are there in US, in UK, in a developed nation, and how many judges are there in India? If you make a comparative study, our number of strength of judges is very, very, very low. So if you want to avoid problem of under trial prisoners, undoubtedly after one third of the time, then they should be released. And also we have that default bail if investigation is not conducted within 90 days. But above, from all these things, if we want to bring reforms in the administration of criminal justice system, further I think that we should separate investigation from law and order and traffic. And then we should also increase the number of courts and judges. Then only we can properly address this under trial problem. Otherwise, merely because of making laws won't give any relief to the under trial prisoners, because even the trial judge has only 24 hours time and he can work only 10 hours a day. That also we have to look at practical problems.
Professor Surya Prakash, we all understand that the new criminal laws would be coming into effect from the 1st of July this year. What would be the impact on the common person? A crime or an FIR which was registered before 1st of July, would it be governed by the old laws, or when it comes up for trial post 1st July, will it be governed by the new laws? Means, what is the crucial date?
When the new act has come, as far as the procedure is concerned, if I am the trial judge, I will go by the new laws. That should be there. Because under the old law, I want to go for 20 times, 30 times adjournments, and I want to prolong the case matter for another 10 years. But when once the new law has come into force, it is applicable from 1st July onwards, including the pending proceedings.
Irrespective of the date of registration of FIR or the date of, you know, filing of a charge sheet, post 1st July, whenever the case comes to court, maybe in September or October this year, but the crime was committed, say, a year back or 6 months back, it would be judged by the new laws.
Suppose if we apply the old laws for the offenses which are committed before 1st July 2024, then things will remain as it is. So he will claim that for me, you please apply the old Indian Penal Code and old Criminal Procedure Code, and also you take evidence according to the old Indian Evidence Act. Then there will be two streams of criminal justice system in our courts. One is one criminal justice system according to the old laws, and another stream of criminal justice according to the new laws. I hope that it won't happen. It should not happen. Once these laws are applicable, whatever the pending proceedings for this should be adopted and applied.
Professor, before we conclude our discussion on the new criminal laws, I want to bring in this point that we have always been discussing about the huge pendency of cases, especially at the lower courts level, district courts and also high court. With the introduction of the new criminal laws, can we expect these new laws to catalyze reduction in case pendency?
To some extent, I am hopeful, because we know that there are criminal matters pending, particularly where some influential people are accused of certain offenses. It is taking decades, not 1 or 2 years. It will take 2 or 3 decades to bring the accused to justice and to punish them, if at all they have committed the offense. So, because of the time limit, if the time limit is strictly adhered in the disposal of criminal cases, definitely this will reduce the number of criminal cases pending in the trial.
Professor Surya Prakash, it's been a pleasure discussing the three new criminal laws. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on new criminal laws, transitioning legal framework of the country into new age. The participants were Professor S. Surya Prakash, Vice Chancellor of the National Law Institute, University, and S. Rangabhashyam, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com.